Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
As you get ready to expand your knowledge this offseason, make sure to save the date for USA Football's 2020 National Conference taking place February 21st through the 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky. This is more than just a clinic. It's your chance to hone your ability to teach proven and effective techniques while connecting with coaches across the country. Most coaches are satisfied if their regional clinic delivers just one or two nuggets of information. National Conference delivers a one-of-a-kind, high school-focused, live field experience that will give you an abundance of drills and techniques to improve your team's performance. Coaches can deep dive into both X's and O's and technique at classroom and chalk talk sessions. Finally, USA Football delivers top keynote speakers year after year. Here's a few of the keynotes from previous years: Mike Tomlin, John Gruden, PJ Fleck, and Jeremy Pruitt. As an added bonus this year, paying attendees can get access to the advanced tackling system and contact system for blocking and defeating blocks following the event, and have a chance to earn the new advanced contact certification. If you're ready to get to work on next season, don't miss out on USA Football's National Conference. Learn more at nationalconference.usafootball.com/podcast. Enter the code PODCAST179 to save at registration. The focus of today's podcast is building a defensive unit culture. We're going to focus first on some segments from some of the defensive coordinators that we've had on the podcast. Then we'll shift the focus to the position groups, and we'll have a defensive line coach, a linebackers coach, a safeties coach, as well as a corners coach, talk about how they build their units from a position standpoint. Let's start with defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, Jim Leonard. Jim Leonard's done an outstanding job there. He had a great career there, then went on to play in the NFL, and now he is back as the defensive coordinator at his alma mater. And he talks about how you need to simplify the game for your players. They need to have that understanding and confidence, and that will create some ownership in the unit. He also talks about how important it is that they know you care about them. Let's listen to what he has to say about building unit culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one to me, the coaching side is just to remember it doesn't matter how much you know. It matters what you can coach, and it matters what you can get your players to consistently do. So that's the trick. If you can't get your guys to consistently do it, it's not, the details aren't there yet. So you got to pull something back. You either got to find another way to say it, another way to coach it, or scrap it altogether for a little bit until you can get it to that point. Definitely less is more type of mentality. Even though the background that I came from with Rex Ryan and all that, you'd think it'd be the opposite. I think that was his trick, was being able to teach very detailed things and looked like chaos at times, but I think he did a good job of teaching it to at least enough guys understood it to where it really didn't seem like that big of adjustments. And the thing that I took from Rex was, it's extremely important to have that foundation of who you are so your team knows that. In our case, our defense knows that. And then be very open with your adjustments, your kind of complimentary calls, and why they're important, to where not only they know what your foundation is, it needs to be very clear, these 10 calls, these 5 calls, whatever that number is for you, this is the foundation of who we are, and then these complimentary calls go with that package, and they know why and when. I think that just creates the ownership. I think it creates the confidence in the group. They know why we're making some of these adjustments, and they know exactly why. You want to get to that point where they may look over and they know kind of what's coming. And maybe it's, if it's A or B, they know it's going to be one of those calls. I think that's a very powerful point to get to as a coach.
Eric Shenander, the defensive coordinator at Nebraska, joined us to talk about the black shirt defense. In this segment, he focuses on how they built upon that tradition that was set a long time ago for the black shirts and what it means.
Yeah, I think anytime you go anywhere, I think you have to understand the past, good or bad. And you kind of have to embrace the present and look towards the future. But this place is a little different. Obviously, it's one of the, like you said, the most storied programs in all of college football. And I think being the defensive coordinator at the Blackshirts is probably the, not probably, is the best defensive job in America. It's funny because a lot of the places we've been, we're always trying to figure out what's the identity on defense. You're with Chip Kelly in Oregon, and every poster, every recruiting piece of information has an offensive player on it and has fast and something to do with playing on offense. And then you get to Nebraska, and it's finally, you're like, finally, we have the black shirts. It's an awesome deal. You don't need to find the identity here. But the one thing that we needed to do was we needed to research what is the black shirts, how did it come about, what does it mean, what do we want it to be with us. And that took some, obviously we have Barrett Rue on our staff, who's one of the best black shirts. He's obviously the all-time tackle leader at the University of Nebraska. And we had to talk to, I talked to Coach McBride, and we've talked to some other former black shirts and just try to figure out what it meant to them and what does it mean to us. And I think that's kind of an ongoing process, and we're going to continue to figure it out here, but it's a very cool deal to be part of it. They need to know that everybody represents the black shirts. As soon as we step on that field, how you earn a black shirt is a different story, and if you get to wear it in practice and all that kind of thing. But I hope the black shirts in 2018, win, lose, or draw, I hope they represent the best team in the country in effort. That's what I want for this group right now, is to get back 11 hats to the football. Whatever play it is, you're going to physically and mentally outwork the guy in front of you, and everybody in the country, everybody in that stadium is going to see the best effort team that they've ever seen here, and be proud of that team. I mean, I think if we can get that accomplished, we're going to start to do some good things on defense and in the program here, and that'd be a great thing to build off of. But if I had to have one thing that we're going to be the best at in 2018, I want to say it's going to be an effort team.
Chris Kappas is the defensive coordinator at the University of Mount Union. As a player, he won 2 national championships, and he continues now on the staff as the defensive coordinator. As the defensive coordinator, year in and year out, they have one of the top defenses in Division III football. And Coach Kappas talks to us about the tradition and the culture that's been established there and how players buy into that and keep proliferating that culture. Let's take a listen.
I know it was built before I got here, you know, so that building process, I was not a part of that. But, you know, just to give you an idea of how our program is maintained, that our players really, really make the whole thing go. They learn from the players before them, who learn from the players before them. So there's very, very little discipline, you know, yelling at guys for not giving effort, you know, not showing up to meetings or late for practice, stuff like that. I mean, the players, the older players really take care of that kind of stuff. And then with as many good players as we have on the team, you know, that guys come to Mount Union because they want to win. They want to play on a championship caliber football team. So they love football. So if there ever is any issues or anything, you know, that playing time, whether we move a guy ahead of them and that guy's, you know, ready to play. So, you know, just kind of maintaining the culture is really, really run by the players, you know, and I think we've done a good job recruiting guys that really, really love football, that really want to buy into that culture, and they do that almost immediately as soon as they step on campus.
Rich Wright is now the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State. He was the defensive coordinator prior to that, and in 2014 and 15, earned recognition as the Progress Defensive Coordinator of the Year. He also has 4 national titles under his belt at Northwest Missouri State. And in this segment, he talks about the people that are part of your culture and how he looks for people who have that desire to be elite. And that helps them, especially when they're young in the program and working through some times where they're not going to have success and where they're going to have to persevere. And he feels that when he has people with that desire to be elite, that's going to help them through those situations. Here's Coach Wright talking about that.
You know, for us, one of the things that we look for is highly intrinsically motivated people. And, you know, when we watch players, and it doesn't matter if we're hiring a graduate assistant or a full-time coach, or we're recruiting and looking at, you know, future players here at Northwest, the thing that we're looking for is people that want to be elite. And when we turn on a tape on a high school kid, he's going to be a good football player. What I want to do when I get to the high school, and I just got back from one today, is I want to go talk to the lady in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. I want to visit with the science teacher. I want to visit with the guidance counselor. I want to find out, you know, what other areas, you know, what is this kid all about? Is it just on the football field? Does he need that crowd? Does he need that external motivator? Or is it really from within? Because I think when you find people, you know, to join your organization that just have an inner desire to be excellent in everything that you do, it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so what the toughest thing at Northwest is when you bring a young kid in, he's not going to have success right away. And so it's that piece that pushes him through. It's that piece that allows him to persevere, to change his body, to prepare to get ready to play college football, because it's a much different level. And so, you know, when you get kids that are good students and you get kids that are involved in the community, then what you land is a well-rounded person who's going to help make Northwest Missouri State a better place.
Travis Johansson is the defensive coordinator at South Dakota. Johansson won an NAIA national title in 2013 at Grandview. He was a Heart of America Assistant Coach of the Year finalist in each of the last two seasons and was the National Coordinator of the Year finalist in 2015. Recently, he was featured in Sports Illustrated in an article titled "The Search to Save NFL Defenses." He believes in helping players identify their goals and then setting the standards to help them reach those goals. And he talks about that as well as why he wanted to be a part of the culture at South Dakota.
Well, I think, you know, everybody wants, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, to find guys with the character of competitiveness and toughness, I think is the kind of the word everybody uses. I think of toughness more as willingness. I don't think anybody that plays this game has decided to play this game at this level isn't tough. I think some guys are more willing than others. And, getting guys to be willing is kind of our job as coaches. But, you know, competitive, tough people, I think first, this is a game about people, not necessarily about X's and O's all the time. And then we talk a lot about, you know, design, just kind of how we talk to our kids around accountability, you know, not having this be about us. This isn't a coach's game. It's a player's game. And, you know, we really dig into these guys about explaining to us what you want to get out of this. And, you know, luckily enough here at South Dakota, you know, Coach Nielsen, our head coach, has won multiple national titles. And I had the opportunity to win a national title. We've been around coaches that have done that and seen what it takes. And, you know, I think we can speak on that for these guys, lucky enough. And they say things like, we want to, you know, win at this level. We're going to set the bar up there and show them what that looks like. You know, then it's on our guys. And essentially, it isn't so much about what we want to do. It's about what they want to do. And recruiting guys that really want that genuinely and aren't afraid to back it up when those challenges presented in front of them, when we do set that bar. And so, you know, accountability from the standpoint of, we're going to hold them accountable to their own goals, not to ours. You know, we're going to coach, you know, a lot of different football teams and a lot of different players. This is about their experience, what we want them to have out of that is kind of irrelevant. And so, you know, we let them, you know, show us their goals and what they want to do, and then we're going to show them what that takes. And I think you got to have tough and competitive people to have that sense of accountability. And I think we do here for sure. Well, I know when I looked at this job, we talked about the job. You know, the one thing, Coach Nielsen, the head coach I'm working for right now, everywhere he's been, he's found a way to turn those programs around. And here, you know, some of the things that I think, you know, didn't allow South Dakota to be, you know, although there's been a lot of success here, to be, you know, nationally prominent. And I think that's one of the things I look for when I want to be a part of a program. Say that we get a chance to win a national title in this program, and he's done it and turned programs around everywhere he's been. And then what they're doing for him here, we got a $30 million renovation going on in our dome right now, $100 million athletic renovation that's happened in the last couple of years. And this place is really invested into players and student athletes and giving them a chance to be really successful. So when I knew that was happening right on the front end of an opportunity to be here with a guy like Coach Nielsen, there was no hesitation to jump on board. And, you know, there were some other opportunities, and I looked at this one and went, this is a no-brainer. Playing the best FCS league in the country, by far, you get a chance to prove it week in, week out. And now we've got a base to really recruit on. When kids come here, they look around and go, holy smokes. You know, I want to be here. And so, yeah, it's exciting. And you know, this place is special. And it's the university of the state, which is pretty cool. It's the flagship University of South Dakota. And it's pretty cool.
Bob Trott is now the defensive coordinator at East Carolina University. He's had success wherever he's been. He was named the 2017 FCS Coordinator of the Year by Football Scoop, and his defenses are usually at the top of all rankings. Let's listen to what Coach Trott has to say about a we culture.
I think one thing that we try to create here is that, you know, every coach I've ever worked with says, you know, we're all in this together. But I think you have to live it and walk it every day. You know, just an example, when you start talking to your team and say, you know, you guys got called out, or, you know, you guys got beat, that players aren't stupid. You know, that we part goes right out the window. Mm-hmm. And we try really hard here that I've told my players, if I ever say I or you, just kick me in the ass. Mm-hmm. And I try walk that every day, that this is a we lost the game, or we did this. And I think the players appreciate it. We start every day when we break up from the whole team meeting with a defensive team meeting. And I think I've always felt that was important, that we always start as a team. You know, it might be a 1 minute meeting, it might be a 15 minute meeting, but we always start as a team. We like to always start practice after stretching with a defensive team drill, just to emphasize that it is a team game. It's not an individual game. So I think it's important when you create that culture that the players learn to trust you. And when you say it's a we thing, that you do have to talk that way, believe it. And you know, kids can tell the difference.
Absolutely.
And I think once you develop that and there's a trust there, and, you know, we have our team meetings. If I screw up, I take accountability of it. I expect them to. I'll stand guys up and make them talk about what they have to do. And, you know, we try to make everybody accountable. We're a family, you know, and we have the same goal, and that's what we're trying to create. So I think we stress even more the defensive team part of it and try to do everything we can to make that a reality.
Rob Everett was a state champion defensive coordinator at the high school level in Westfield, Virginia. From there, he moved on to Bridgewater College, where he was the defensive coordinator, and then spent the AAF season coaching with Mike Singletary at Memphis. Coach Everett talks about the importance of culture and how you have to defend that culture as a coach, as well as teach your players how to defend the culture.
you know, I've been fortunate to be a part of some good programs in high school, and there's a great foundation of tradition at Bridgewater College. But we faced some adversity this year in a team that went 4-6, but we had some injuries and some things that were difficult to handle. And what I kind of took away here is that culture, whether good or bad, it needs to be defended all the time. What you're about needs to be defended by your staff, by your players, by everybody in the program. And you can't put it on cruise control and think just because the scoreboard says one thing that everything's okay. And that's a big lesson that I took away, because you look at it, and I think it's easy to be a good teammate when you're winning. And it's easy to do the right thing or practice hard or do those things that we kind of expect as coaches, but it's easy to do those things when the scoreboard's in your favor. And we found that out this season as well. We were 3-0, beat a ranked team on the road, and we were kind of clicking, and then faced some adversity, some of which we caused, some of which was just the way that football goes. But looking back at it, and I'm looking at myself and the entire program, I think we could have done a better job of defending who we are and not make excuses for those things that just because we're winning, we need to tighten this thing up a little bit. And that's something that I'm going to spend a lot of time in this offseason, you know, talking to people about culture and the things that they do. But I think trusting your gut is an important piece in the process of culture. If something smells bad, it usually is, you know, no matter what, don't try to rationalize things away. And then the last piece of your culture, I think you got to remember the seasons are long, and don't get too high and don't get too low, because what's great about this game is while things can go badly pretty quickly, things can turn around pretty quickly as well, whether it's, you know, from series to series or game to game or season to season. Central Florida is a great example. 2 years ago, they were 0-12, and now they're 13-0. So things can change quickly in your culture, but I think you need to be clear with the definition of who you are as a program and then having everybody defending it at all times.
John Steger was the University of Minnesota Duluth defensive coordinator for 18 years. He's recently been promoted to associate head coach. He was the 2018 NSIC Assistant Coach of the Year. He's won 2 national titles with the Bulldogs. In this segment, he talks about the importance of consistency and how a good program really has the senior players leading and taking over that culture.
Yeah, to me, I think it goes back to a little bit of a program, you know, philosophy. And we've had a lot of success here. We won a couple national championships. We've been on the postseason 11 straight years. And you know, to me, it's all about player development, Keith. It's about bringing kids in. I mean, we've generally done it recruiting regionally, Wisconsin and Minnesota kids, but bringing kids in and then having senior classes that are, you know, 17 out of 21 that started, or 21 out of 24, or you know, 22 out of 23, something along those lines, where you're able to keep kids in your system and develop them, you know, going through a spring ball, going through fall camp, going through a season, getting them with your strength coach, and being able to just be consistent year in and year out. So, you know, if you can do that, then your culture, because I think the best thing about your culture is when your older players are able to teach your younger players what you want your culture to be. And as a coaching staff, you know, you try to enhance that. But, you know, that to me is the critical thing. And when you get that, it's a great thing. Now, getting there is the tough thing, you know. And I think at that point, it comes down to trying to recruit kids, you know, obviously that are athletically inclined, but kids that are from a character standpoint that you think are going to do the right thing. And that football is really important too. I think that's the hard thing. And, you know, I would say recruiting is not an exact science. You know, the NFL spends millions of dollars every year trying to figure out who to draft, and they mess it up all the time. And, you know, we're trying to do it with 18-year-olds. And, you know, it is a critical thing to find those kids that you can bring into your program. That football is important too, that want to learn. You know, when you can do that and you have enough success doing that, then your culture kind of takes care of itself. I truly believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Wally Kuczynski is the defensive coordinator at St. Thomas in Minnesota. They've had one of the top defenses year in and year out in the time that he's been there. He was named the 2011 Football Scoop Division III Defensive Coordinator of the Year. Coach Kuczynski talks to us about the importance of alignment and how they've created that at St. Thomas.
Well, the alignment, number one, first and foremost, I'll go back to that with being able to have everybody on the same page and have that alignment. It takes a village to do what we do. I mean, you know, if we had a bunch of Division III players on our football team, we wouldn't be as good as we are. We have a bunch of, you know, Division I and Division II players that make a decision that they want a little bit more out of their academic and athletic experience, or more control, I guess I would say, over their academic and athletic experience. So that alignment then starts with, you know, our head football coach, and Coach Caruso, as you mentioned, is really good congregator. I mean, he can get a lot of people on the same page in a very, very short period of time. I mean, he is phenomenal at being able to paint a picture, really better than anybody that I've ever met. And that type of leadership from the top then trickles down to all of the assistants, and being able to have the same message. We're big on vocabulary. We all talk the same language here. It doesn't matter if it's offense, defense, special teams, or if we're hanging out in a meeting or off campus somewhere. I mean, we're all... It's nice that we've been together for this long. I've been with him for 10 seasons. As I said, our special teams coordinator, Travis Walsh, is a stud, and he's been with us for 10 seasons as well. And we've had a lot of longevity with our staff that way, but the message does not get lost in translation. I think we do a really good job. You know, I think we're good with our schemes. I think we're good with the plays that we call, but I think we're excellent being able to have the same message from the top all the way down through everybody in our program.
A practical side of culture is being able to have something in front of your players, in front of your team, that is simple enough to understand. And Casey Jacobson of Morningside, national champion, talks about that exactly here, how his team really didn't know the six pillars of their defense, so he came up with the Wolfpack Pyramid, and he describes their pillars within the Wolfpack Pyramid.
We talk about culture probably on a daily basis. Here at Morningside, you know, the defense, our nickname is the Wolfpack. And we have the Wolfpack Identity Pyramid. And at the base of the pyramid is three things that we have to do each and every single game and week to week. And the three things on the base of that are violent, relentless execution. That's the base of what we're trying to do here. We want to make sure we're executing the call, executing our assignment with perfection. You know, we want to make sure we're playing relentless. You know, a lot of the times you can make a mistake, but your effort can make up for it. And then obviously, you know, the game of football, you've got to be bringing your pads. You've got to be using your hands to defeat blocks. So we talk about violent, relentless execution on a daily basis.
That sounds like a great tool, the Wolfpack Identity Pyramid. How did you develop that, or where'd you get the idea?
Oh, I stole it. You know, I think I took it from Patterson down at TCU. I read an article that he wrote just in terms of, and I think theirs was an overall program philosophy. And I think he actually probably stole it from John Wooden, because John Wooden was big on the pyramid thing. So we had had our game goals and we had our expectations of what we expected the defense to do. And then after the season one year, you know, I sat down with some of the seniors and said, okay, what's the six caveats of the Wolfpack defense? And they just kind of all looked at me funny. So obviously I knew that I wasn't getting that message across strong enough. So I sat down and I came up with the Wolfpack Identity Pyramid. The bottom of it is relentless, violent, and execution. The next level up is tackles for loss, takeaways, and stopping run. And then obviously the top of the pyramid is no touchdowns. They see that every day. They hear it every day. They get quizzed on it every Tuesday when we go down there. So everybody should be on board, should be on the same page in terms of what it to do to be successful.
Continue to add to that idea of making your culture very visible and understandable for your players. Coach Vince DiGaetano, who at the time was the head football coach at SUNY Maritime, talked about how he put that on the back of their t-shirts so that in camp, before they were in pads or in the weight room, they would see those things all the time. And in this case, he was talking about their philosophy of tackling, which is a big pillar of their defense. And so he put the five fights philosophy of his tackling on the back of his t-shirts, and the players would be able to see that all the time. And he talks about the effect that had, and Andy Ryland joined me and Vince in the conversation. Let's take a listen.
They read shirts. That's remarkable. You don't think about it a lot of times. We put the slogan on shirts, and I came to realize this a little bit, that the players like to read the shirts. We have a lot of, obviously, student athletes, no matter what academically they do. And we have some high academic kids at Maritime, but they tend to float, and they tend to, when they're standing around or waiting their turn or it's not their rep, they tend to float away sometimes and think about other things in the course of the day. So one of the things we actually did do is we actually put basically the PowerPoint slide that we would use for like something on actually the back of the shirt. Because a lot of times I found that we introduce these coaching points at one stop and then we move on from them. Mm-hmm. And the amount of times that we actually would have that and the player would come over and actually ask when they talk about, hey, what does that mean, cleats in the grass? Or what does dip time actually mean? And then you're able to kind of like get them to kind of be part of like the learning. And they have a little bit of inquiry based stuff where they're able to say like, hey, what is that? And then you're explaining it to them. They're like, oh, that's what that means. That again, it's that constant reinforcement, because a lot of times we found that front of the shirt, you know, gives like the slogan, put the back of the shirt, gives the coaching points, because a lot of the times you're probably facing the one person doing the drill and the other people are right behind you. So they're constant reinforcement of what they're saying as they go up. And then it also keeps it on track with the coaches too, to be able to stay to the coaching points. And this way not to go ahead and be obscure in the coaching points with something that is so fundamental, like tackling. It's just over and over and over again. And being able to bring that into this phase, because now being at different levels and being at different phases of it, coming in springs, coming in falls, like ultimately we try to put our year-round program in, but when you're not afforded the year-round opportunity for a program, like you just have to figure out and start cutting from somewhere. I think for the most part, we saw the vast improvement of what their skill set was. We were at Wagner and we were at some other places. You know, we had a spring to introduce it. And when we introduced it in that spring, and then by the time in the summer, you have the summer workouts and stuff, by the time they come back in, you know, the younger guys fall in line because they know the drill already and they know the coaching points. It was like an everybody at once kind of thing that happened over there, plus coaches who had never coached it either. So I was coaching coaches to coach it. And like, so that was it. So you're trying to put it all together. So,
Andy, I'll let you jump in here. I mean, what do you think of, you've seen these T-shirts before, the coaching points on the back of the T-shirt.
Well, obviously, I'm a huge fan. I think I had wondered, and we've spoke, you know, is that something that originated because of the lack of time and you felt it was an interesting way to reinforce it to your players, to get your terminology instilled quickly? But coming off the back of it, I mean, is this something that you would do again? You know, you'll do at your next program, at your next stop with the next class of freshmen. Is this something, you know, that other coaches can copy, and just how that kind of knee-based solution that appeared now might become a staple?
Well, and the other thing, Andy, as I've probably spoken to you about before, it forces the coaches to learn it, because Andy knows the following: if you can't coach it, you can't have it. That's too. So no, but not everybody gets the shirt. So everybody, it's not one of those things that you come in and say, where's my gear? And everybody picks up their gear and keeps going and they be able to fly the flag. But if you're not able to go ahead and you have to, the one thing for my coaches is like, they want the shirt, they have to come in and coach me on it before they can have the shirt and wear it too. So we're not going to be hypocritical and just have coaching points out there for somebody who can't do it. So it kind of, again, it holds them accountable to another level of doing it too. And I would absolutely do it again, just because I feel like it's just something, even if it's on a broader scale, you know, budgetarily, something that you could do, but it's something you're going to pretty much wear something with a logo on it. I'm just going to take advantage of every opportunity that's there, especially with the time and just the constant reinforcement kind of thing. And players like rewards, and players like to be reinforced. Like, they come and play this game, not because they have to, they come and play this game at all levels because they like to, and they want to be better at it. So the players want to be coached, and that's what I constantly remind coaches to do. And especially a lot of times when they can't do something, it's not because they don't want to do it. It's because they potentially can, or we got to change the way we coach it too. So it just constantly stays to like the script on it too.
Prior to the 2019 season, Coach Ty Nix of Ole Miss joined us to talk about how he builds the culture within his linebacker group. And for him, it's really about establishing a foundation of caring for his players and letting them know that he loves them and he's out there to look out for their best interest. Then Coach talks about how players really reflect that position coach in their culture, and he shares with us what he feels are the most important aspects of playing linebacker for the Ole Miss Rebels.
Well, you know, the first thing I want to overemphasize and I'm going to get my point across, is that I'm there for them, that I care for them, that I want them to be the very best in every aspect of their life, from academically, from socially, from athletically. I am there to help them achieve all their goals and dreams. You know, I'm not one of those coaches who are afraid to tell their players that he loves them. You know, I share that with them as well. And that I'm going to be very demanding, that I'm going to be very tough, that I'm going to try to get the best out of them on every day. And it's never personal. It's only about making them and helping them become the best that they can be in all areas. And, you know, once we get that first line of establishment of that I care for them first, that I want them to succeed, then we get into the philosophy of the program, the philosophy from the head coach, the philosophy of the defense, and the things of that nature. But I think sometimes these things are taken for granted, and they're out of, you know, not in particular the correct order. But it always starts with me with the heart. It starts with me with the family. It starts with me with the love and the communication that we have to be on the same page in everything that we do. And my goal for them is to be the best. You know, I think the culture of your position room starts with the position coach. It starts with the recruiting. The head coach trusts us and allows us to have a lot of input on who's the type of players that we're selecting for our position. The skill set has to be there, of course. They have to have certain intangibles about playing the game. But obviously the mindset, the temperament, the attitude, a lot of those things can be shaped and formed in the position room. And for me, I think a lot of my guys have taken on the personality of the position coach. And, you know, we try to establish a tough, physical, powerful, you know, appearance when we hit the field. And we try to let those things speak by the way we play the game. You know, football is a very, very, very violent sport, and we try to play violent within the rules. We want to make sure that you understand that we're here to play, and we're going to play until this thing is over, and we're going to give you everything that we have. I always tell my guys, we may not be the biggest in stature, but we may have the biggest heart, and the way we play the game should make everyone proud and be an example when we walk off the field. So the things that I look for on a daily basis is, how do we strain our bodies? How are we giving everything we have on each particular play? How smart are we? Are we playing with fundamentals? Are we playing with intelligence? Are we understanding the situation? So all those things build into the culture of the position, and it carries over throughout the defense. And, you know, I think it's contagious. I think we bring an attitude of work, being an opportunity to work at Virginia Tech, the LPD, the lunch pail defense, is bring your hard hats every day. You know, let's go to work. This is a blue collar school, you know, mentality when we come to practice day in and day out. From the same thing of the Land Sharks, when I was here, the early parts of 2000, you know, the Land Sharks was basically about eat, you know, getting an opportunity to feed not only yourself, but your family and the things that it takes to survival in life. You know, those guys who are fighting to survive, they strain. They give everything that they have to be able to provide for themselves and their families. And I think that's our culture. I think that's our mindset. That's our attitude. And you should see that in our performance, in the way we practice on a daily basis.
Terrence Jamison is the defensive line coach at Air Force. He talks about how important it is to know your players and what they're capable of and being able to build around that. He also acknowledges that a bigger part of what they're doing is building a culture that is going to help these players understand how to succeed in life off the field.
We can come up with a bunch of stuff to run and who has the right. Who has the marker last and all that good stuff, but you can't get away from the players. You can't get away from the players. It's too much, you know, from a coaching standpoint, from an administrative standpoint, from donors and boosters, it gets away from the players, what the game is about, and that's where you go wrong. So that's when it's not fun anymore. So, but yeah, know your players, know what they can and can't do, and put them in position to make plays and have fun and go fast. Yeah, it's going to be time to scheme guys up for sure. And when that time comes, just make sure it's a derivative of what you already do. Well, what I tell the guys is, and I just hope to see down the line, these guys become good fathers, good husbands, and just leaders of their home, responsible men, not show up on any news report with some unfortunate situation, incident, bad decision. So, I mean, I got this from Coach Partridge, but, you know, we talk about the five pillars. You know, make good decisions. Treat others with respect, especially women. Know where to be and be on time. No drugs and compete at everything. And so, really just to be a responsible young man, a man built for others. That's really what I want to look back when I retire and see a bunch of guys that I've coached that are built for others, starting in the home first.
John Luce is now the defensive coordinator at Army. He joined us when he coached the safeties and talked about that position group and what he was looking for. And he really wants to build around guys who love the game and are smart. He explains why that's so important in his position group in this next segment.
I think one of the big things is they have to love football. They really do. It's hard to play major college football. It is. It's hard. You know, we get them 4 hours a day, and 4 hours isn't 4 hours. You know, 4 hours is from the first meeting to when you walk off the practice field. So that's 4 hours. Somewhere in there they need to tape, and they need to, you know, they need to do other things. They need to get up here. They need to do all those things. So if you don't love football, you're not going to keep playing, because everyone here is full scholarship. So to me, that's important. I want somebody, and obviously they have to have the skill set. Mm-hmm. I'd rather, from a safety standpoint, I'd rather have a big corner, if I could, that looks like he can cover and do things, that is going to be big enough to be a safety someday. You know, so I mean, I'm a big fan of taking a few more corners, and the guys that, hey, they're not a corner, maybe they'll be a safety. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times the big safety ends up being an outside linebacker. Everybody moves closer to the middle or closer to the ball, right? So, but I want guys that are athletic and can run. They got to love football. And I really want guys that are smart, too. I really do. Because the safeties are the quarterbacks of the defense. Mm-hmm. And if you're a hard learner and you have a hard time, then you're going to have a hard time, you know, in our system. You really are. We're not a really simple, we're just going to play quarters every down where you can just teach them, okay, this is what we're going to do. So, you know, there's enough stuff that's checking, and we got to get out in front of it. We have to use our advantages here, and one of them is we're smart. You know, we should be, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's West Point. So, I want to find safeties that football, I think the football part comes easy, and they really like it. So, and we have some of those guys, and they're not always as big or as fast as we want, but they're really smart, and they can make up for it, you know? I mean, obviously, I want the same guy that I recruit Pennsylvania as my number one spot. I want the same guy Penn State does.
Right.
But, you know, in reality, I'm probably not going to beat them in recruiting. So I need to, you know, you need to find that guy. He might be a couple inches shorter. He might be a little bit slower, but he might be really smart, and he might love football way more. So that's what I'm trying to find. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's what I'm trying to find.
Van Malone was the defensive coordinator at SMU. He's now the corners coach at Kansas State. In this segment, he talks about how important it is for his players to always be growing and improving. And he also points out the importance of relationships in building a strong culture.
Well, I think one of the things that once I remove that blind spot is that you as a coach, you have to be committed to being the best you can be every day. I like to call it being elite. And what that means is there's always got to be a better way to do it. You know, if your team And over the years, we've done this. If your team has led the nation in turnovers, okay, how can you improve upon that? What drill can we improve? What are some things that we can do better to always be looking to improve? People say in college coaching, you always be recruiting. Well, I say as a coach, you always got to be looking for improvement. And, you know, there are some great coaches out there. And so over the years, when I've had the opportunity to visit different coaches, it's not always about, you know, what scheme, because there's only 11 guys out there, and you can do a lot of things with 11 people, but it's about getting each one of those young men and ladies today in the game to perform at their maximum level, to be able to teach them, to be able to reach all of them, and to be able to teach them as best you can. So that's the one thing, is they'll always be growing. And then the second thing I've learned really toward the latter part of my career is how important having a relationship is with your players. Relationship with the players is something that, of course, early in my career, like I said, I had many ways that I was a jerk, but I didn't realize how important it is to dig in and establish strong relationships with your players, not just for what they do today as a player, but for many years down the line. I am the recipient of that today, because some guys who coached me in high school, we have great friend relationships now. That relationship has continued to grow from my experience as a player for these people, for my experience as they're fans of what I do. And so now I'm in the coaching ranks alongside them. And so that relationship has continued to grow. And because they established a relationship with me as a player many years ago. So that's something, those are two things that I learned amongst many other, but those are two things that have really grown in me as a coach. And I consider them important to pass on to young coaches. Always be growing, and then make sure that you understand the importance of establishing strong relationships with your players. Because if they know that you care, and you see this all the time, but if they know that you care, that's what's important. It's not what you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the fact that you're some big-time NFL player or you're some big-time coach, but do you care about me? And I think when you can establish that, you go a long way as a coach.
So there you have it. A lot of different perspectives on how to build culture on defense and within the position group. I think one of the things that sticks out most is that it's about the people. And a lot of these guys talked about that, the importance of the people you're looking for in your group, as well as the relationships. Thanks again for tuning in. We have a ton of stuff coming for you this offseason. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at FBDEV Coach, and follow me on Twitter as well at Coach K Grabowski.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.